Now, I want you to understand, when I got saved on a cattle ranch out in West Texas near Toya. It's a little town that off I-20. If you blink your eyes when you go past it, you'll probably miss it. But God reached down through a radio ministry. He reached into that line shack where I was out in the middle of the great Chihuahuan Desert, and he brought the gospel to me. And I got saved. And it was that point in my life, Brother Freeman, that I wanted to know why God created me. I wanted to know what his plan was for my life. I felt like he saved me for a reason. And I didn't want to miss that plan. I wanted to be a part of it. I'd served God so little up until that point. I had been serving the devil. And for the first time in my life, I realized that that was a sin, and I wanted to serve God. And I made a decision. I told God after I got saved, I said, God, I want to give my life to you. I don't know if you can use a cowboy, but if you can, I want you to use me. And God showed me through a missionary sometime later that God can use cowboys. But anyway, my burden is for those little villages up in the Sierra Madre, Brother Freeman. They're a little village. They can be 50 people in the village, or maybe 100, maybe 80. They're little villages. But those people, I believe, Brother Freeman, need to hear the gospel. And because I worked out on these ranches and I was kind of isolated, I have a burden for those cowboys. I have a burden for those people up in those villages where nobody's going, not even the Catholics are going to them, brother. And they need to hear the gospel. And I have a burden for them. And so God put us in Sonora, Mexico, and we're going to a lot of those little villages. We'll never have a big church, brother, but, you know, if we can reach someone for the Lord Jesus Christ, God can take that person, and who knows what he can do in the country of Mexico with that person. I'm not concerned about, you know, having a big church. I'm concerned about reaching as many people as I can in the place where God's put me. And so right now we're in a bigger city, the city of Jimenez, Chihuahua, on a temporary basis. It's about 30,000 people. There's a lot more possibility to do something there. And so we ask for your prayers as we reach out. God's put us in contact with Mennonite people. There's about 300 families that live on that Mennonite colony near the border. And when we come and go, we've got permission now to stay with some of those families that are saved. And we want to reach out and be a witness to those other Mennonite families that aren't saved. We've also got a bunch of Tarahumara Indians that come out of the mountains. They live in the Sierra Madres. And they come down to the city because they don't have food. It's been a couple of rough years and they haven't been able to raise corn. And so they come out of the mountains and they come to those villages and they beg for money. And God's given us contact with those Tarahumara people. We had one couple coming to our church and their daughter, just recently, we found out she was pregnant. And she's about 17 years old. And my wife has taken her under her wing, just like she was her daughter. And we've been trying to help her because she didn't have anywhere to turn. And right now, just was it yesterday or the day before, we heard that she had her baby. It's a little baby boy. And so we've been back and forth calling and trying to get our people to help her till we can get back there. And I'm hoping that maybe somehow through that contact, loving that Tarahumara girl and her baby, that God will give us someone. I don't speak Tarahumara, but I believe they need to hear the gospel. And I hope that she might be the key for us to be able to reach her people. And so y'all pray about that. God never does anything by accident. Everything he does has got a reason. It's got a purpose. And we don't know where that purpose is going to take us, but we're open to the fact that it could be a key to get into their tribe, into those people. And so we're also going to a centro de rehabilitación, a rehabilitation center, and preaching there to drug addicts, to alcoholics. We've had some people saved there, and you know, our town is controlled by a drug cartel, and there's fighting back and forth, and so there's a lot of violence, people getting killed, and we want to try to reach as many of those people that are, you know, a slave to drugs, and whose lives are, you know, desperate as we can. And so pray about that. And then we are able to go to that little village, Torreoncitos. And there's a lady that comes to our church, and she had a burden for that little village right across the highway from where she lives in El Molino. And so she asked us to come, and we did. And we've got a small group of believers now that we were able to win to the Lord, and now we're discipling them. And we hope someday to be able to have a church there in that little village. And so God's opening up all kinds of ministries to us. Sarah's working with the young ladies. Sarah's working with the moms and teaching them Bible classes and having ladies' Bible studies and the such. And so all of these new areas that are opening up, you know, we're challenging our church to step out of their comfort zone and to begin to use their gifts and talents to help us in these different ministries that we have, because we can only do so much by ourselves, and they're stepping up to the plate. And so we're watching them grow, we're watching them mature, we're watching them get excited about reaching these lost people for Christ, and we ask for your prayers there. And then hopefully a time will come when God will bring a full-time pastor to shepherd that flock, and we can go back to Arrivechi, and I want to resume those the ministry we had to those villages, and be reaching out to those people up in those mountain villages. That's where my heart really is. That's where my biggest burden is for those mountain people. And so I ask y'all to pray that soon, if it would be pleasing to the Lord, we could go back and resume the ministry there in Arrivechi, Sonora. But for now, we're trying to juggle those two different things, those two different places, and God sent us helpers, workers, to do that. I want to ask you, if you would, please, to open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles in chapter 29. And this was a passage that I read this morning, Brother Freeman, in my Bible devotions, and the Lord spoke to my heart, and I hope that through his guidance, I can develop this a little bit, and it'll be a blessing to you like it was a blessing to me. There's so many different ways that this passage could go. There are several messages in this passage, but this is the passage, or the message, I believe that God wants me to share with you tonight. And we're going to begin reading in verse 10. We're going to read chapter 29 of 1 Chronicles. We're going to begin in the verse 10, and we're going to read through verse 17. And I don't know how y'all do it here, but in our church back in Jimenez and in Arrivechi, when we read the Word of God, out of reverence to our Father, our Heavenly Father, we stand for the reading of His Word, if that's okay. And once again, if you can, if you're physically able to stand, if not, don't feel bad, and I don't want to embarrass you if you can't stand, but if you can, out of reverence for the Word of God, let's stand for the reading of His Word. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, beginning in verse 10 through verse 17. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee, and we praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding.
O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this afternoon, Lord, we want to glorify you. We want to magnify you. We want to lift you up. All power and all glory is thine. And Heavenly Father, we want to give that to you today. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would anoint these lips. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help me to share the burden that I have on my heart for what you have called us to do and for what you have called this church to do. Heavenly Father, help us to be grateful tonight. Help us, Heavenly Father, to realize that all that we have has been given to us by thee. It is thine. And you have simply put it into our hands that we might be good stewards of it. So, Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you could help me to take this message and to share it in such a way, Lord, that it would come out a blessing to this church, that people would be challenged about reaching the lost for Jesus Christ, that people would be challenged about doing more for missions, that people would be challenged, Lord, about building a house for thine honor and glory. They're in a building program, Lord, and they need people to let go of their wallets and realize that all that they have comes from thine hand. And Lord, they should be generous with it. They should invest it in the Lord's work. And so I pray tonight, Lord, that you would do that, that you would help them tonight to see themselves and the way that you can use them to help build your kingdom. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would have the preeminence in all that's said and done tonight. Anoint my lips. Give me the strength, Lord, to preach this message the way you want it preached. And Lord, I realize that the work that must be done in the hearts of your people tonight cannot be done by me. They can only be done, Heavenly Father, by your Holy Spirit drawing them. And so we ask you, Holy Spirit, as I speak your word, that you will do your work that only you can do of drawing people into a closer relationship and in a closer commitment to you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray that thou might be honored and glorified tonight. Amen. You may be seated. Now in this chapter 29, we realize that David is nearing the end of his life. God has used David greatly for several decades. He has had some great victories. He has fought giants and defeated those giants in the power of God. There was probably no greater king of Israel than King David. The Apostle Paul in Acts 13:22, as he was preaching in the synagogue in Antioch, cited God as having said of David, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." And tonight I would ask of us, each and every one of us, as we look inside of ourselves and our hearts tonight, are you a man that thirsts after God tonight? Are you a man that above everything seeks to do, to know and to do the will of God for your life? Is that your goal? Is that your most driving ambition today? Is to know the will of God and then to do it? With all the accomplishments that David had achieved in his life, the many victories and the battles he had fought, there was one final parting desire, one final parting burden that David had. He wanted to see the house of God completed. But alas, God did not allow David to accomplish that. He was going to do it through his son Solomon. But even so, David, in his zeal for the house of God, he began to prepare all the materials. He began to prepare all of the people who were going to do service in the temple. He began to prepare all the workers and organize them in such a fashion that they could help his son, who was young and tender. And he said, "The work is great." We see in verse number 1. Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Do you realize that the work that this church is involved in tonight is the greatest work on the face of the earth? There is no other task. There is no other occupation. There is no other position that we can hold as believers than that the work of God is the most important reason for us being here tonight. And I hope that you can get a hold of that. I hope that you can make it a priority in your life tonight. It is a great work, and God wants to use you in that great work. But you have to realize that it is a great work, and that God is needing people like you that he can use as instruments to accomplish that work. And so he's calling today. God is calling to you and I. There are people sitting here tonight that I believe God would call to come and form a part of this church and get involved right here in this church and serve God and help build his kingdom. God is growing this community of believers here in Fellowship Baptist Church. But as it grows, they're going to need more workers. They're going to need more people to get involved. And you have some gifts and you have some talents that when God sealed you with his Holy Spirit, he gave you. And you need to put them to work. Now, it says in verse 2, David says, "Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God." Once again, I would ask you tonight, are you putting God first? Are you serving God with all of your might? Is that the priority of your life? Is it centered around God and about growing his kingdom and helping God reach the lost? There was one final parting wish that David wanted to see, and that was the completion of this temple. It was his greatest desire. We see down in verse 3 of that passage, "Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house." David had set his affection in the house of God. Are your affections set on the house of God tonight? Do you enjoy coming to this church every time the doors are open, when there's a missions conference or when there's a revival, when this church is doing the work of the kingdom? Are you involved? Will you put aside everything else and make time? Is it a priority in your life to serve here in this local church? I hope it is, because it's God's work. And he has saved you for a reason. When I was on that ranch, brother, and I listened to that radio preacher, I don't know who he was, I don't even remember the name of the message, but he started his message with a question. He said, "If you were to die today, do you know for sure if you'd go to heaven?" And through a tragedy that happened about a year before, a good friend of mine had got killed in Lahana, Colorado. His name was Joe Mapes. And I went to his funeral. And as I sat in that little country church in Cacheras, Colorado, Joe Mapes was in a box right up here in front of the pulpit. And I was looking at Joe Mapes. He was no longer alive. I'd just seen him a couple days before. We had had a hamburger together in the A&W root beer stand in Lahana, Colorado. He had treated me to a hamburger. Joe Mapes was married, had a little baby girl. And he was sharing with me over that hamburger that he had a dream. He had just bought 7 head of mares. And he was going to take those mares, brother, and he was going to breed them. And he was going to save that money, and he was going to buy himself a place. A place of his own. He was tired of cowboying. He wanted to be a rancher, but he needed to buy a place. He needed to buy some cattle. He needed to buy some horses to be able to have a cattle operation. So he took his first step buying those 7 mares, and he had a vision. He had a burden. But a couple days later, I got a phone call, and it was a neighbor lady telling me that Joe Mapes had just died. I was 25 years old at that time. Joe Mapes was 25 years old. Joe Mapes had a burden. Joe Mapes had a vision. It was a worldly vision, but
he never was allowed to see that vision. He was never able to accomplish that. And as I looked at him up there in that coffin, I realized, as the preacher was preaching over his body, I realized, someday I'm going to be up there. And I know I'm not right with God. I wasn't living for God. I was raised in church, albeit a Lutheran church, brother. I heard all about God. I heard the Bible stories, but I didn't know how to connect them. I didn't know how to be saved. And so when I got old enough, I left church and I began drifting around. But when I saw Joe Mapes laying in that coffin at 25 years of age, God jerked the rug out from under me, Brother Freeman, and I realized that I didn't have 70 promised me. Death is no respecter of persons. And oftentimes, young people die. And we think, no, well, I'll get that settled down the road. When I'm through experiencing the world, when I'm through experimenting with the pleasures that the world has to offer, then I'll get right with God and I'll get saved before I die and I'll go to heaven. Well, that was what I was thinking. But Joe Mapes might have been thinking the same thing. He didn't make it. He died at 25 years of age. But through that experience, God got a hold of me and I wanted to know how to be saved. And I started reading my Bible, brother, for the first time in my life. I started in Genesis and I read all the way to the end through Revelation, just like you read any other book, a page at a time, in order and consistent. And it took me about a year to read through the Bible, brother. But as I was reading through the Bible, God was beginning to speak to my heart. He was beginning to enliven my spirit to Him. I was beginning to hear His voice. And I was challenged. I would ride through those cattle every day, brother. I had to, you know, watch over them. We were in the desert, so water was scarce. And we were looking after about 2,000 yearlings. I was there in a camp by myself, nobody else there. So I'd read the Bible every day. And then I'd get on my horse and I'd go out there and I'd prowl through the cattle all day. And when I'd get back to the cabin, I'd fix me a big old glass of iced tea and I'd get the Bible out and I'd read until dark and then I'd go to bed. But the Holy Spirit, brother, made me realize something. As I was watching those cattle and I was studying them, I realized something. That cow, if she has three things, she's happy in life. If she has food when she's hungry, if she has water to drink, cool water to drink when she's thirsty, and if she has a safe place to bed down at night, out of the weather, out of the elements, and safe from the varmints, she's content. But then I began to compare my life, Brother Freeman, to that cow. That's what I did every day. I woke up in the morning, I fixed breakfast, I saddled my horse, I went out into the pasture, I prowled all day through the cattle, did my job looking after them. I'd come back in the afternoon all thirsty. I'd fix me a glass of iced tea. I'd drink it. I'd make me some supper. And I'd go to bed at night. And the next morning I'd wake up and I'd do it all over again. I didn't have any more purpose in my life, brother, than that cow brute. I ate when I was hungry. I drank when I was thirsty. And I slept when I was tired. That was the sum total of my life. I wasn't doing anything for God. And when God, through that preacher on that battery-powered radio, got a hold of my heart through the preaching of the gospel, and I got saved, for the first time I saw myself as a wicked sinner, brother. Everything good that I had in my life, I had that job, I had my health, God had given to me. And yet I was spending my life serving the devil. And the devil hadn't given me anything good. He'd only given me problems. So why would I continue to serve him? I said, that's foolish. And I made a vow to God. I said, God, from now on, I'm going to serve you. I don't want to make any decisions without asking you first. And if you don't approve of it, I don't want to do it. If you don't like who I'm hanging out with, I don't want to hang out with them anymore. If you don't like where I go, then I don't want to go there anymore.
If you don't like the way I talk, I don't want to talk that way anymore. I want to do everything I do to bring you honor and glory.
And so God began to work in my life. And I share that with you tonight because if you don't have that affection for the things of God, if you don't have that passion and the realization that the most important reason that you and I are here tonight is to glorify Him and to serve Him, you just might miss God's will for your life. And that would be sad. I began to pray. I said, God, show me why you saved me. I know you saved me for a reason. I'm not just supposed to be out here punching cows. There's something else you want me to do. And your work is people. And so God, through various circumstances, when that job ended, took me to an area where there was a church. And I began to attend. The guy that I went to work for was a cutting horse trainer. And I wanted to get more into the horse end of it because you don't get rich being a cowboy. They don't pay that good. And, you know, you start out with a bedroll and a saddle, and when you're all stove up and too old to do it anymore, that's all you still have is a bedroll and a saddle. You don't ever get ahead. And so in the horse end of it, there's a lot of people that have big money and, you know, they'll pay you more. And so the Lord led me to this cutting horse trainer. And he started telling me all about this job he was going to give me, brother, but he was going to make me work 7 days a week. And I'd already told God, I said, God, from now on, if you will lead me somewhere where I can do what I know how to do, I promise you that if there's a church anywhere near me where I can go to church, I'm going to go to church on Sundays. Sunday's the Lord's day. And I'm going to be in church on Sunday. He gives me 6 days to make a living. And the seventh day is the Lord's. And so when this guy started telling me all about what he was going to pay me and all that stuff, I mean, it was a great offer. It was really awesome. And it's just exactly what I wanted, I thought. But at the end he said, you're going to have to work 7 days a week. And I looked him right straight in the eye. The guy was lost. But I'd made a promise to God, brother. And I said, look, I love everything about this job. I want this job. But let me tell you something. I can't take it. And he said, why? And I said, because you're going to make me work on Sundays. And I'm a Christian. I want to go to church. And I made a promise to God when he saved me that if he would give me a job where I could do what I know how to do, I wasn't going to skip out of church anymore. I'd lived enough of my years skipping out of church. And I told him, I'm not going to do that anymore. That's not pleasing to you. That's ungrateful. That's ungrateful. And I didn't want to be ungrateful. And you know what that guy did? He kind of swallowed it, you know, and looked at me like I was like a calf looks at a new gate. And he said, brother, I tell you what. If you will do a good job during the week, I will give you Saturday afternoons and Sundays off. Well, praise the Lord. I'd only asked for Sundays off. And he gave me another half a day, and I didn't ask for that. If you will put God first, God will honor that. And so tonight, I want to tell you, and I guess this is my burden for you tonight. I've got a burden for Mexico. I've got a burden for the world. I've got a bunch of burdens. I've got a burden for people to hear the call of God and go to missions. I've got all kinds of burdens I could share with you, but one of the greatest burdens that I have for you tonight is for you to get a hold of this fact that God's work is great and that you should set your affections on the house of God and on the work of God, and that you should desire, just as I did as a young cowboy, to know the will of God and do it. So I began to pray. I said, God, I don't know what you saved me for. I don't know what you want me to do with my life. I had some ideas where I could serve him, but they weren't God's ideas. They were my ideas. And so I prayed, God, show me why you made me. And I said, I don't care what it is. If it'll bring you honor and glory, I will clean the toilets of the local church. If that's my place where you want to put me to be a help in that church, I will gladly clean the toilets for your honor and glory. And I will be glad in it. I will consider it an honor to do. And so when I joined that church, Calvary Baptist Church in Odessa, Texas, a missionary came one Wednesday night. And he began to show some slides. And in those slides, there was a picture of a young girl. She was probably 13 years old. They had gone to a village. And they had gone to the basketball court or the volleyball court in the center of that village. And they had had an open-air meeting. And they had preached the gospel. And this young girl, I didn't have to have anybody explain the picture to me. The glow on her face, that beautiful, radiant smile she had, was evidence of the joy of the Lord in that little girl. She got saved that night. And you could see it on her face. You could see God in that face, in that smile. But it wasn't that, brother, that God used to pull at my heartstrings. In the background of that picture, they weren't even the purpose that that missionary took the picture. He wanted to get that girl's beautiful smile. But unbeknownst to him, but beknownst to God, in the background of that picture, there was a thatched roof hut. It was away from the light string. It was back in the shadows. But leaning up against that thatched roof hut were some Mexican vaqueros, some Mexican cowboys. I could see the silhouette of their sombreros. I could see the silhouette of their botas. I could see their chaparreras. I knew they were cowboys. And the Holy Spirit smote my heart. He said, you didn't think I could use a cowboy? There's cowboys in Mexico that don't know Jesus. Somebody's got to go tell them. You're a cowboy that's got Jesus. Why don't you go and tell them? They might get saved. They'll listen to you because you're just like they are. And so tonight, I want you to understand, you might be out there tonight and you might say, God, I don't have the training. Or God, I don't have the knowledge that I feel like I need to have to serve the Lord in a full-time capacity. Brother, let me tell you, I didn't have any of that either. The only thing that I had was a zeal for the house of God, a desire to give him the honor and the glory, a desire to be used of God, a desire to give thanks to God, give him back my life because he had given his life for me. And I wanted him to use me. I did not want to miss the reason God put me here. I knew that one day I was going to stand before him. And I was going to have to give an account. And so the only thing I knew to do was to ask him, God, please show me why you made me. And I want you tonight to consider in your heart, if you're searching for the will of God, why he's put you here in this local church, maybe you're unsure of your giftings. Maybe you're unsure where you could put your talents in ministry and help this church reach others for Christ. Let me tell you something. There are people just like you in this town. They're walking the same path you're walking. They're doing the same thing you're doing. God can use cowboys to reach other cowboys. God can use truck drivers that are saved to reach other truck drivers that aren't saved. God can use UPS drivers that are saved to reach other UPS drivers or their customers that they're dealing with every day. If you flip hamburgers in McDonald's or in Burger King, there's other people that are doing just what you're doing. And you can be a light in that Burger King or in that Chick-fil-A or wherever it is that you work. There are people just like you that God puts in your path every day. And if you want to, if you have a zeal for the work of God, if you have compassion on those people and you love them like the Lord loves them, you can reach them with the Word of God. All you have to do is yield yourself to Him and ask Him, and He will show you. I know that because He showed me. And as I look back 30-something years to that day, it was in January of 1981, I made the most important decision of my life next to salvation when I gave my life to God. And I tell you what, I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's been the most exciting, the most fulfilling, the most satisfying thing that I've ever done. I don't want to train horses anymore, brother. I don't want to be a cowboy anymore. It was a wonderful life when I was lost. But now that I'm saved, I want to serve God. And I hope tonight that the Holy Spirit of God will get a hold of you and help you to understand God loves you. Let me just close with this verse real quick in Ephesians. The Bible says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God has a plan for your life. God sees you in Jesus Christ, and He has ordained you unto good works. There is something that you are supposed to be doing, and it's good. It's reasonable. And it's perfect. God's will is what you would choose if you knew all the facts. And tonight I'm asking you to be open to the will of God. I'm asking you to be open to the call of God. You know, when I go to these foreign countries and I talk to other missionaries, I was just talking to Brother Stanley today, and he was sharing with me about going to Bangkok, where his son-in-law works, Brother Randy Ashcraft. A city of 3 million people. How many? 13, I'm sorry. 13 million people. If you could count the churches on both hands, I would be surprised. Brother Stanley's walked all over that town and traveled all over it with Randy. And I dare say that in that town of 13 million people, there's probably not very many independent fundamental Baptist churches that are preaching the gospel. Has God quit calling people to missions? Has God quit calling people to go? Why do we have so many churches in the United States? We were in Chattanooga, Tennessee. There's a church on every street corner. I mean, literally, every street corner. Why do they have a church on every street corner, but there's not a handful of them in a town of 13 million people in Bangkok, Thailand? Has God quit calling people? Has God quit caring for their souls? Does God not want us to go and preach the gospel to every creature? Of course He does. God continues to call every day. But you know what? We're not answering that call. We're not willing to go. I just believe that. We're not willing to go. Now, I know this church is different. I can see that this church is interested in missions. I can see that this church is doing all in their power to try to send missionaries out. But that's not the case in a lot of churches. You just don't see people surrendering to go to the mission field like they used to. And I don't understand. Did God quit calling people? I don't believe so. There might be someone here tonight. You're not saved. You need to get saved. That's the first call from God that you need to answer. You need to come down here in an old-fashioned altar, and you need to bow down, and you need to yield your life to God. You need to understand that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You have to understand that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You need to understand that if you'll call upon Jesus in faith, Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can get saved tonight. And maybe that's what God's dealing with you tonight. Or maybe there's someone out here, you've been wanting to know how you could get involved in this local church. You've been wondering, God, why did you bring me to this church? Why did you put me in this congregation? You saved me for a purpose. I want to know what that purpose is. Have you ever asked him? Have you ever come to an old-fashioned altar and laid your life on the altar and said, God, here I am. I want you to use me. Show me what it is. And I'm going to leave the check blank. If you want me to clean the toilets, I'll do that for your honor and glory. If you want me to mow the grass, I'll do that for your honor and glory. If you want me to go out on visitation and build a bus route, I'll do that for your honor and glory. Whatever it is, I am willing to do it if you get the honor and the glory. I am yours, lock, stock, and barrel. I want to serve you, Lord. I want to find out why you made me. Would you do that tonight? Would you come down here to an old-fashioned altar and would you pray on your knees to God to show you why? Fully intending to do it with his help if he shows you. Because God sees your heart. He knows if you're faking it. But if you really mean business with God, come down here tonight. Lay your life on the altar and cry out to him and ask him. He's the only one who can make that plain to you. I can't. And then thirdly, maybe God's dealing with you about foreign missions. Maybe God's calling you to the mission field, to Russia, to China, to Mexico, to Central America, to some island out in the South Pacific. I don't know. But there are people, the majority of the world is dying and going to hell because people will not go. People will not answer the call of God. And that's sad. No one's willing to stand in the gap. No one cares about their soul. And I'm challenging you tonight. Do you care enough about the work of God that you would go wherever God asks you to go if it will bring him honor and glory? Tonight, as we bow our heads in prayer, I have a burden. I have a burden for the people here tonight that might not be saved. I don't want you to die and go to hell. I want you to be saved. But I can't make you come to an old-fashioned altar and talk to one of these ushers and let them take the Bible and show you how to be saved. You have to listen to the Holy Spirit, and he has to draw you. If tonight is the night that the Holy Spirit is telling you you need to come, come, please. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. You'll be so glad you did. That was the greatest decision of my life, was to give it to the Lord Jesus Christ and settle that for once and for all and make peace with God. Secondly, there might be parents here tonight. If your child came to the altar, laid his life on the altar, and God called him to Russia or some third world country, you would try to talk him out of it. And that's wrong. The safest place for your kids to be, mom and dad, tonight is in the center of God's will, wherever that may be. I know it's a burden for Miss Stanley and for Brother Stanley to not be able to see their children and their grandchildren on a regular basis. But they've given them to God. And they know that the best place for their daughter and their grandkids and their son-in-law to be is in the center of God's will. So tonight, the safest place you can be, or your children can be, or your grandchildren, is in the center of God's will. So, parents, have your children ever been taken by the hand by you and brought to the altar, and you lay your children on the altar? Now, you can't do that if your life's not been laid on the altar first. But if you've laid your life on the altar, you could come down here and you could pray and lay your children on the altar. You realize that they belong to God. You realize they're a gift from God. Tonight, the best decision that you could make for the future of your children and your grandchildren and for yourself is to lay it all on the altar. If you have some children here tonight that are in the service, or even if they're not, would you come down here to an old-fashioned altar? Would you give them back to God? Would you tell them and let them know, son, if God ever calls you full-time to be a preacher or to be a missionary to Timbuktu, that's what I want you to do, and I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you'll answer God's call. That's the most important work you can ever do. The work of God. And I'm praying for you that you'll find God's will for your life. And don't ever think that I will be against you if you come and tell me someday that God's called you to the mission field. And then thirdly, I want to pray that those of you who, God doesn't call everybody to the mission field. Somebody's got to stay home. Somebody's got to do the work here in Virginia. I'm asking you tonight, if you're not involved in your local church, if your light's not shining here, it's you're not. God's not going to take you around the world and expect your light to shine around the world. You got to start letting your light shine right here locally. And so I'm asking you tonight, if you're not involved in some ministry of this church, contributing your gifts and talents to the body of Christ as a whole, then tonight could be the night that you make that decision. And I'm going to ask you tonight, would you consider that? Would you consider coming to an old-fashioned altar and asking God, God, what can I do to get more involved in my local church and contribute to give back what you have given me? Everything that I have, you have given into my hand, and I freely give it back to you tonight. Would that be your prayer?